You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. And our next guest in the studio, we've actually got Kirsten von Bibra, who's a director.
Oh, how was that? Did he get it pretty right?
Beautiful. Thank you, Neil.
No problem. Kirsten's is the director of a show that's on at the 45 Downstairs at the moment called Venus in Fur. And we've also got one of the performers from that show as well, Darcy Kent.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
And we actually like to start the show off, obviously, by talking a little bit about your background. So maybe we'll start with you, Kirsten, and just see where did you sort of get the start in arts and your love for arts and what got you to where you are now, basically?
Oh, my goodness. How much time do we have?
Well, you know what? Maybe a bridge version to start with, and we'll take it from there.
I mean, I auditioned for VCA when I was like 20 years old and just absolutely loved the audition. And they took on directing students for 3 years in those days where they really believed that you had to train as an actor before you could actually then go on to be a director. So that you had
a smart thing.
A very smart thing, I think. So from there, I was lucky. I got jobs working, you know, the full gamut with children, St. Martin's Theatre. Then I was working in Melbourne Theatre Company's education program.
Oh, wow.
Went and worked overseas in Cambridge.
Excuse me.
Yeah, hello. you know, like you do the Edinburgh Festival and you do a little bit of European touring and get your little bit of perspective and you come back and you just go, right, okay. And I guess I've done a smattering of working independently. I worked for a while as a teacher of acting at the VCA for a number of years and was a guest director there for a number of years.
So you would have seen a lot of well-known actors come through in the day. You know, like with some of those actors, and you don't have to name drop it, you can if you want, but was there any that have gone on to bigger and better things that you thought to yourself, yeah, they've really got it?
Well, that involves serious name dropping.
Oh, go on.
All right. When I came back to Australia, we did a show at La Mama, which Cate Blanchett and Caroline Lee co-written. They'd written a little piece together and they were very excited. And so, you know, they were performing at La Mama. And at the time, Cate was doing her audition to get into NIDA. And she would come back with just such surprise. Oh, my God, I got through to the next level, you know. But it was really clear and obvious that she would, because she was just luminous to watch in the space before she even trained.
Yeah. She really is, isn't she?
Yeah.
I saw her at the NGV, the Potter Gallery, the other week, and I think the exhibition's still on, and she does this piece to camera. And she's astounding.
She is.
She's absolutely, you know, like, and you just look at her and you go, you can understand why she's such a big name. And I remember George Clooney saying about her in an interview one time. He said, but, you know, like, you know, she's your beacon, isn't she, in Australia?
She is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyone else?
Oh, well, more recently, Elizabeth Debicki, who's just beautiful to watch. And she's been in quite a lot of shows and worked overseas and a number of big films as well. So she's done incredibly well.
She has, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Well, she was in The Great Gatsby, of course.
She was, indeed.
And the Night Manager.
Yes,
which
is
one of my favourite of a BBC first production.
Yeah.
And she, you know, like she was a real star in that alongside of those two major male stars.
Yeah, it was quite funny because I remember when she got The Great Gatsby part, she came back and she said, oh, my God, they're flying me over there to have golfing lessons. It's amazing. I'm learning how to golf. And I was thinking, right. And I remember seeing the movie going, oh, I'm looking forward to this golfing. It's like literally like the 1 second in a bedroom and she just swings for one, you know. But they invested a lot of energy and money to get the golfing technique correct.
Yeah. It's great. And it's wonderful, you know, like as life goes on, you know, like looking back on all those achievements of people you trained.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. All right, Darcy. So, you've got to beat that.
Okay, great. what do I say? Well, I mean, I guess, so I'm an actor. I was brought up and raised in Melbourne. And I studied...
That's a rarity. Everyone else is from somewhere else. Hold on.
And I was lucky enough to train at 16th Street full-time, their full-time program there. and I was taught by Noni Hazelhurst and Kerry Armstrong, a few really, really great.
So what was it like getting into a school like that? Because it's got such a reputation. Were you aware of where you were going and what you were doing?
Yeah, look, I'd met a few people that had graduated from there beforehand and really loved the work that they were doing and their kind of just general approach to art and acting in general. Yeah, I had a really great and intimidating audition with another Melbourne director called Alkinos Silimidos, who's done a lot of film here. Yep. And yeah, there was a point in the audition where I had to do I was doing a scene from a beautiful film from the 80s.
You look a little bit red. Are you a bit embarrassed about it?
Yeah, well, it was an intense moment because I was kind of like really young, only 19, and he's, you know, at the other end of the room, I'm doing the scene. He's going, go and get her. You know, she's about to leave in the scene. She's going out the door yeah, it was full on, but it was a great experience. And then more recently, I've kind of gotten more and more into theatre as time's gone on, and I've gone, last year I had the opportunity to go to China and take Romeo and Juliet and Much Ado About Nothing to China. And we toured there.
Who with?
They're called the Australian International Opera Company. So they've really only taken opera beforehand. But the Chinese audiences have been really, really interested to see Shakespeare because he's one of the only authors that was allowed to be, Western authors that was allowed to be read during Mao's time in China.
Oh,
so
okay.
They have a very special relationship with him there.
Right. What about the language barrier?
Well, they had it subtitled.
Oh, okay.
So and I think a lot of people that were coming to see it had already had a good grasp of what it was already.
Yep.
But yeah, we did it in English to some really big audiences. The first night we had like 6,000 people, which was insane. Yeah.
Whoa.
Mm. And then I've come back and been doing some really, really beautiful independent theatre, and I recently became an ensemble member at Red Stitch Actors Theatre as well.
Ah, and what's that like?
It's great. It's great. I mean, it's just started off this year, but it's just great to be...
So this is your first year there?
First year with them, yeah, yep. And it's just, you know, really great to be surrounded by a whole lot of artists that have been doing it for a long time as well. You just get a really great understanding of, you know, especially the business side of things with a company like Red Stitch that's been going for almost 20 years, you know. They've survived for a reason, and it's really, you know, it's really great spending time with the people there.
So give people, if you've been living under a rock that don't know anything about Red Stitch, you know, what is Red Stitch?
Well, they're pretty much the premier independent theatre company, ensemble-led theatre company in Australia.
Run by the actors.
Run by the actors, yeah. So it was started, almost 20 years ago now, and a lot of the original ensemble members are still there, still putting up work, and... yeah, it's really fantastic stuff.
So you'll be part of helping to choose, you know, like at some stage what's coming?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They bring you into the ensemble and you very much have a voice there pretty much from the get-go.
And also painting the scene at the sets.
Yeah, absolutely. And helping out, like, you know, replanting pots outside and, you know, I do the photos for them and stuff. So it's very, it's a community there, which is really, really great. It's lovely as an actor to not just feel like, you know, you're by yourself and solo, to have a real community that you can be a part of.
Oh, it's just wonderful. And we talk to lots of people and productions that they do on this show.
Absolutely.
I love them a lot.
Yeah.
And now talking about production, Kirsten, give us a breakdown of what this theatre company is all about, Lightning Jar Theatre.
Lightning Jar Theatre Company began maybe just at the end of 2016, and they had their... Oh, no, it would have been a bit earlier than that because they kicked off with their first production, which you're not allowed to say on air because it's called Stupid Effing Bird, which is very hard. But actually, I've never seen the play, but I know it's beautiful because it's actually a modern version of Chekhov's The Seagull. So that's the bird. And they had tremendous success with that. They comprise three actors. So again, it's another company which has been started by actors for actors. They're very committed to wanting to do sort of text-based plays ways that give them an opportunity to work with language without necessarily adapting it to the point where it's no longer recognisable as that play. They're very committed to language and to also making sure that it's something that excites an audience, wants to draw an audience in, and maybe they see themselves as slightly like an alternative, independent, bigger theatre company in terms of their vision of, you know, what they do. So there's just the three actors that run it.
Okay, and so you and Darcy have been brought in for this play.
Yes.
Tell us, what's the play and what's it about?
Well, it's called Venus in Fur, and it's by an American playwright called David Ives. It won a Tony Award, and in fact, apart from Shakespeare, in I think it was 2012 or 13, it was the most performed play in America.
Oh, gosh.
It's incredibly popular. He is an extraordinary playwright, David Ives. He's recently just finished adapting two Louis Buñuel films, absurdist Spanish filmmaker, for Stephen Sondheim. And Stephen Sondheim has written this opera based on these Louis Buñuel films.
Whoa.
And he's just done the libretto for them. And
right.
Actually, my brother-in-law saw them at the Met in New York and said, oh, really? That was fabulous. It was an amazing production. It was just done, I think, at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So that's David Ives.
Yeah.
He's funny because he was trained at, like, I think a Catholic seminary sort of school, very Jesuit, and his big claim to fame on the wiki page is, you know, us would-be priests were trained for gravitas. You know, so what he does achieve really well is this fabulous combination of real comedy and humour, but there is substance underneath. So there's a lot to sort of explore in terms of the surface energy, but also there is something really interesting to think about underneath that.
And maybe Darcy can tell us what Venus in Fur is about.
Yeah, sure. I guess...
what part do you play?
So it's a two-hander. So there's two of us on stage for pretty much... We're aiming for an hour and a half at the moment, and it's just one extended scene that goes for that whole entire time.
Yeah.
So it's just me and Tilly, the other actor in the show.
It's one scene.
One scene.
Wow.
One scene.
Okay,
so
yep.
We don't ever leave the stage.
Yep.
So in terms of rehearsing it, it's been probably, I think for both of us, the most challenging thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
It's required a lot of endurance and specificity because you don't get to leave the stage and kind of reconstitute yourself to go back on for the next scene.
Yeah.
You know, the energy that you start with at the beginning has to carry you through to the end.
And also kind of, you know, a scene mostly ends and then there's time that passes and then another one begins.
Absolutely.
But this is all in real time.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
So it's about a director has adapted a famous German novel called Venus in Fur, which was kind of that book started off the masochistic and sadomasochistic philosophy and movement as well. And he's adapted that book into a play, and he gets an actor, a young actress, to come in and audition for him. And pretty much the whole play is that audition. And it starts, the power games and the S&M themes of the book of the play that he's adapted start to leak into the real world.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's really sexy and combative, and it's a lot about gender, you know, really comes into it. It being on at the moment is really, really amazing because, you know, with the stuff that's going on about Harvey Weinstein and all these, you know, directors coming out, it's about, you know, it does tackle these issues of men with power taking advantage of that. And
oh, very topical.
Yeah. So
how's that for you? Because, yeah, it's very topical at the moment.
And as John said, how's it for you? Because, you know, like, people are going to look at you and start throwing tomatoes.
Well, yeah,
at you.
I mean, it's been interesting for me. I think when we first started rehearsing it, I mean, it's very comedic. There's a lot of comedy in it, and it's very funny, especially at the beginning. And it didn't really affect me at the beginning, but I think a few weeks into rehearsals, I really realized that, you know, I do say some things in the show that are quite hurtful to women and to the other character. And I went, I'm really going to need to take care of myself in this because.
Yeah.
yeah, there's some really mean stuff that's said, and you can carry it with you.
Yeah, but also, I guess, not judge yourself because you need to
absolutely.
Play
this thing. Oh, well, you're absolutely. An actor. You're yeah, an actor. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Kirsten, you know, what was the draw card for you with a play like this? Because, as we said, very topical right now, but also challenging for your two actors.
Yeah, incredibly challenging. I think, first of all, he's an amazing wordsmith. Like, he has an incredible command of all those things linguistically that you love in good writing, in terms of rhythm and pace and onomatopoeia and antithesis and rhetorical drive. He is absolutely masterful. I love the interplay between the comedy and the more serious content, and so how it dovetails in and out of that, which is fiendishly difficult, so it's a very challenging piece. I think when you look at the content, like, if you take the name of the play, often a name is a good way to sort of access the meaning of the play. And you've got, first of all, Venus, and she's the goddess of love. And Venus was painted by Titian in 1555. And there's a wonderful painting, which probably most people will remember when you see it. It's called Venus in with Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
And she's sort of half naked, and she's got this wrap that's fur-lined, draped around her, and two little cupids are attending her, and one of them's holding up a mirror and she's looking at herself, and it's very, very beautiful. So the Venus aspect as a goddess of beauty, a goddess of love, raises all those issues about feminism, about beauty, about the male gaze, about women as powerful, because Venus is a goddess, so yes, she might be gazed upon, but she can certainly meet a male gaze if she wants to, and that's a lot what the play is about as well. How to negotiate the male gaze. And then you go into the word fur as the second part of the title, and fur has a very particular resonance for this gentleman that that Darcy was referring to, called Leopold von Sacher-Masoch. Now, he really existed, and in 1870, he wrote a novel. He was a professor of history, a very erudite man, but he had a kink, a bent, and that was he loved being whipped by women wearing furs. And he would constantly be trying to find women, and he would write out a contract and get them to sign the contract, and you can see these contracts today.
Wow.
And the women would have to sign the contract, including his wife, to agree to putting on furs and whipping him. So he wrote this novel in 1870 called Venus in Furs, plural, and it was a scandal at the time it was published, and it was also a scandal because in many ways it was a thinly disguised account of what actually went on in Sacher-Masoch's, you know, private life. And in fact, it's because of his name, Masoch, that the word masochism was created.
Oh, wow.
So this is the source.
Hey, we learned something.
I mean, wow.
This is the source of masochism.
Wow.
And in fact, sadism and masochism are one of the two, maybe the only two, conditions that derive from literature rather than a medical diagnosis.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a psychiatrist who later on in the 1800s read the Marquis de Sade's books and Sacher-Masoch's books and came up with these ideas of masochism and sadism. So how it works with David Ives, the playwright, is that he translated Sacher-Masoch's book from 1870 and then decided to make his protagonist be a playwright who had adapted Sacher-Masoch's book. So when the director is auditioning this actress, they jump back to 1870 and act out scenes from Sacher-Masoch's story,
right,
and then jump back into contemporary New York, where they analyse and pass comments on the scene from the world of 1870. So the play that David Ives has written is split between contemporary New York, where the actors have to master in New York, you know, a general American accent, and then jump into the world of Europe 1870, where they switch to a general, an RP, an English accent.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty demanding for the actors.
Yeah.
So when do we open? Like, what's what's the time frame? Are you guys?
It previews on Friday the 9th of March. Mm-hmm. So, and it goes previewing for three shows, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then we open the following Tuesday after the long weekend. So right, Tuesday the 13th is our opening night.
Yep.
And then it only runs for two weeks.
Sure. And you're in the thick of rehearsals now.
We are totally in the thick. Yes.
It sounds as if you would need a lot of rehearsing for this piece.
Yeah, huge amount. I mean, we actually started analysing the script midway through last year.
Right.
And then we've kind of been, rehearsing 3 or 4 days a week since the start of January. So we've really needed it too, you know, because...
I could imagine.
Yeah. It's a real head spin because I'll be speaking as, Thomas, my character, and then going, and then I'm saying a line as the character that Thomas is playing and going, wait, whose head am I in right now? How am I reacting to what, this other actor is telling me, what character am I playing? So it's really a hard thing to get your head around. Yeah. We've done a lot of discussion.
Brilliant. I'm sure you have.
When we get tickets? How do we get tickets?
Where's it playing?
So 45 Downstairs.
45 Downstairs. We love 45 Downstairs.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful theatre. And it actually suits the whole play is set in, an old sweatshop that's been converted into this kind of warehouse, and 45 is pretty much it's perfect. We're kind of really lucky to be playing in that space because it perfectly complements the play. You can get it off 45 Downstairs' website.
Yep.
And Lightning Jar Theatre has an Instagram and a website of their own as well, and a Facebook as well.
And please, people, support a theatre company like Lightning Jar, because that's what makes this city so exciting is all theatre companies like this. So become a friend of theirs on social media and go and see the show.
Yeah.
Venus in Fur.
Hope to see
Venus
you
Venus in Fur, yes. thank you so much for coming in today.
Not at all.
Thank you.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.